We've been talking about the blood covenant. Is anybody tired of the blood covenant yet? Good, because you're going to hear about it again today. And next week. Next week. Glory to God. And then starting in July, I just felt impressed this morning that we're going to spend the whole month of July on freedom. On freedom. What the price that Jesus paid for our freedom and how we can operate in it and how we should be standing in it and how we should never walk away from it because He set us free. Amen. But if you look again in Luke chapter 22, and we're just going to do one verse in Luke chapter 22, and we read it last week, and it says this, it says in verse 20, "Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you.'" So significant. And of course, anybody that's been in church, and I was raised in a church, and I was raised in the Catholic Church, and we had Mass every Sunday, and I was in parochial school, so if you got there early, you were required to go to Mass, and so their whole liturgy is around communion. But it never made full sense to me, and I don't think it does yet, because there's so much involved with it. But again, and it's part of this is review, but again, in the Western society, especially in our age, we don't understand covenant. Because we think of covenant as a contract. And a contract you can get out of, and it's only as good as the lawyer that you hire. Right? But covenant is much more, and it's much deeper than that. Covenant is where, again, in all civilizations that are known to man, they have some form of the blood covenant. And simply, I'm not going to go through it all again, but one of the things that they do is there's an incision made somewhere on the body of both people who are getting into the covenant, and they mix that blood together. Because as God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So everything that represents you, and if you went to the doctors for a physical tomorrow, in fact, they don't call them physical, they call them well checkup or something today, I don't know. Anyway, if you went, one of the things that they would do is take vials of your blood. Right? Why? It's because everything that's going on with you is in that blood. Right? And so when you mix the blood, then everything that's in your life is now in my life, and everything in my life is now in your life. And many of you can remember, again, I am showing my age here, but I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons was all about the Westerns, right? Maverick and Gunsmoke and all of these things. But I remember in those movies that we used to watch with John Wayne and others, that whenever they got together with the Native Americans, this term would come up, blood brother. Blood brother. And when you became a blood brother to an Indian chief, it meant something. It meant that none of the rest of the tribe could touch you. Because if they touched you, they'd be messing with the chief. Blood brother. So again, in short review, and I like this part. And again, I'm going to reiterate this particular example. Livingston was going throughout Africa, and he came into this tribe, and he was kind of sickly, but he had this goat, and this chief wanted to come into blood covenant with him. And part of the terms of the covenant were, when we strike this deal, I get your goat. And he went, my goat. That's how I'm eating. That's how I'm feeding. That's how I'm getting sustenance. My goat. What do I get? You get my stick. My staff. You get my rod. Big deal. I could get a stick anywhere, right? And so he was kind of trepidatious about doing this, but he was encouraged by his guides and everything. You need to go through with this. You need to do this. So they did it. There was a whole ceremony. They mixed the blood, did all of that. But later he found out, as he was going through other tribes in every in the area in Africa and just different places, wherever he went, he'd hold up that stick. And this chieftain that he was in blood covenant with was a fierce warrior feared by every tribe around him. So whenever he came into that new land, they'd be aggressively coming at him. He'd hold up the stick and they'd all back off. Why? Because if you attacked him, you attacked the chief and you'd suffer the wrath of the chief. So what does that have to do with anything? He said, a new covenant I give unto you, and the new covenant is in my blood. So watch this. This is what happened. When I, by faith, gave my life to Jesus, I entered in the covenant that was between him and the Father. And now his Father and I are one, just like he is one with the Father. Because I'm in him and he's in me. Is that good news? That's good news. And we're going to find out more today. We talked a little bit last week about the terms of the covenant. I want to read that again out of Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Come on, this is so good. This is such good news. And I will say this. The more you begin to identify as the covenant partner of God, your life, I'm not saying your life will be easy, but what I'm saying is that you'll have peace in the midst of turmoil.
Hallelujah.
Let me say that again. I'm not saying you'll never have trouble, you'll never have problems, you'll never have sad days, but in the midst of the sadness, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the turmoil, Paul said it this way, man, I've been beat, I've been whipped, I've been shipwrecked, I've done all those things, but I've found the key to being content in all of those things. In other words, these afflictions, he said, these light afflictions, man. Light afflictions. I'm not going to get graphic, but the light afflictions that he went through, he said, are nothing to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that's in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? I've learned to see the face of God. I've learned to know what Jesus did for me. I know now what the covenant of his blood means. And so I can face all of this stuff. And nothing moves me because I know of the covenant that I'm walking in. Come on, that's good news. Verse 10 says this of Hebrews chapter 8. And this is prophesied, I believe, out of Jeremiah. It says, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on the tablets of their heart. And we talked about this a lot last week. I will be their God and they shall be my people. When you said, yes, I need a Savior, I believe Jesus is that Savior. And God, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Messiah. And that, Father, you raised him from the dead. You became a covenant partner with God. Now, that's awesome, but it's no longer God out there somewhere. But it's my Father, God. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. Now, listen to this. You know, in life, you watch your kids and your grandkids, and they do something spectacular in sports or school, singing, whatever they do. And they're getting this award from it, and you're looking at them, and you go, that's my son. That's my son. That's my son. Yeah. Everybody, mine, my son. But think about this. Jehovah God. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. He's my God. Because of the covenant that Jesus struck and the blood that was shed, he's my God. Mm, in Ephesians chapter 1, it's so awesome, the prayer that Paul prayed. He said, I just pray that you'd get a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Listen, what is he saying? Of the Father. He said, listen to this. He's saying, I want you to know who I am. Because when you know who I am and you identify as a covenant partner with me, as I am in this world, so are you. And greater things, even than I've done, can you do because I go to my Father for you. See, I'm in covenant with Almighty God. Verse 11 says, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, and the last, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Well, that's such good news. Such good news. Think about this for instance. Some of you have heard people say, well, God told me this and God told me that and God told me this and God told me. In fact, that's actually what led me to the Lord, is somebody was saying that often. Well, God told me this and God told me that. And I thought, man, either this guy is high, or could it be possible that God speaks to him? And so I said, God. And at this point, I was questioning everything. God, if there is a God, and you really speak to him, have him start speaking to the very thing that's on my heart right now. And literally the next thing out of his mouth was exactly what I'd talking in my mind to God about that I didn't know. And so in my superior wisdom, I said, that's quite a coincidence. And then I said, Lord, and I went through the whole thing again, and God came through again. And then I said, God, if you really speak to him, and it's obvious to me now that you do, will you speak to me? And I'm not saying that I hear voices out here. I don't hear voices. I've never heard an audible voice. I've never seen Jesus face to face, any of that. But here's what I know, that he speaks to my heart and he brings the thoughts from my heart into my mind. And he's been speaking to me ever since. Right? Glory to God. I trust that. I know that. And why is that? Because that's one of the terms of the covenant. And when he says, you don't need anybody else to teach you about me, you got to understand that up to that point, if you wanted to know about God, you had to go to the synagogue and talk to the rabbi or talk to a priest or talk to whoever. And there's still room for that. There's still apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and many other gifts in the body of Christ. We're grateful for that. But the ultimate teacher is the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you. And so you don't have to wait for Sunday to hear from God. You can hear from God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Come on, because you're in covenant with the Most High God, and he's dwelling on the inside of you, and it's not something that you've got to beg him to do. It's something that he's already said. This is the term of the covenant that's in my blood. I believe God's speaking to us all the time. But then we get into the area where Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Oftentimes, we've got to come back to the place where I surrender, Lord. Like the song, I just surrender everything to you, Lord. I just want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. You see, the reality is, everything that needed to be done for you to be in the presence of God has already been done.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? And so I want to talk to you about the old covenant a little bit and the new covenant and compare the two. Under the old covenant, and it was a covenant that God struck through Abraham, and then Moses brought the law into it, but it was struck, and it was a real covenant between God and his people, the descendants of Abraham. And that covenant has never been nullified from the standpoint that the sons and daughters of Abraham are in covenant with God. But what he did say is that the old one would become obsolete when the new one is established. What does that mean? Under the old covenant, I just want to get a little picture in your mind. Under the old covenant, there was a sin problem. Under the new covenant, there's a sin problem. But how that problem was dealt with was different than the old and the new. So if once a year in the Jewish feasts and the holidays and all of that, they're around this whole problem of sin, and God made it so that the blood of bulls and goats could cover your sin for a year. And the whole purpose of the law, it was stated in the New Testament, was to prove to you that there was no way that you could do enough to be right with God. Amen. Right. The Old Testament was do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, do. Now watch, the new covenant is done. The old covenant was do. The new covenant is done. Amen. Let me say that one more time. The old covenant was due. The new covenant is done. What does that mean? Jesus did everything that was required for you to be right with God. Every promise in the new covenant that's based on his word is not something you have to do. It's something that's been done. How does that work out? I'll just say this to you, and I can't elaborate a long ways on this, but here's what we do, and it's a mistake that we make. Oh, God, I'm coming to you. Forgive me of my sin. Oh, my sin, my sin, my sin. Forgive me of my sin. And it's like we're waiting for Jesus to get back up on the cross and do some sort of payment for my sin. Yes, we need to confess our faults to one another in sin, but the second that we do, what was done is applied.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Right? I'm not coming to God to do enough penance to get right with God. I'm coming to God to apply the shed blood of Jesus that's already been shed and thank Him for the results. Under the old covenant, there was the law, there was the sacrifices, and there was the priesthood. Under the new covenant, there's grace, the cross, and Jesus, our high priest. Under the old covenant, when the Day of Atonement came, and that was when all the sins of the nation were dealt with. The high priest would come into the holy place and go through the ritual sacrifices to cleanse himself and to make sure he was pure. And then he'd put on this ephod. And this ephod was kind of interesting. I don't know if you've ever seen, I wish I would have brought a slide, but it goes over and it's like a square vest that goes over here and it wraps around. And on that vest, right, is a stone for every tribe in the nation of Israel. Right? And so if you're a Jewish descendant, if you're a daughter or son of Abraham, you were identified with that stone. So if you're Reuben, you had a stone. If you're Gad, you had a stone. They were all represented. So watch this. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to deal with the blood, with the sin of the nation, every person that was in the covenant went in with him because they were represented by the high priest. So watch this. When our high priest, Jesus, went into the Holy of Holies with his own blood, all of those who've come to him and made him their Lord, he took you in with him. And when his blood was accepted, so are you. Because your identification is in him. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm redeemed not because I've done something well, not because I've paid this huge price or I've done all of these things. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now watch this. In the terms of the blood covenant that we saw in Hebrews chapter 8, one of the things he said is, I'll remember your sins no more. What does that mean? That means after you got saved, when you gave your heart to Jesus, everything that you ever did up to that point, as far as God's concerned, is obliterated. But here's the enemy is going to come. Oh, that's not true. You know what you did, and you're going to have to pay the price for that. Man might hold you accountable to some things, but as far as God is concerned, even if every person on the earth rejects you, you're still accepted in heaven. So here's the deal. If you fully understand the blood covenant, you'll no longer walk in the shame of your past. God is not ashamed of you. Let me just say that one more time. God the Father is not ashamed of you. And He is not going, well, this one I like, this one not so much. Right? This one, you know, I mean, they pray a lot. You know, they pray a lot. They read their Bible a lot. They're, you know, boy, that one there, that one's special. No. We're not gauged by what we do. We're gauged by what He did. We're going to see that. We're going to see that. Under the old covenant, at the Day of Atonement, there was two goats. And the two goats, one of them, they went before the high priest, and one of them, the high priest, spoke all of the sin into this goat. And then they slit the throat of that goat and drained the blood out, and that's what he went into the Holy of Holies with. But when he came back out, that second goat, again, he spoke into that goat, leaned on a goat, and then the goat was supposed to go off, and it went out into the wilderness. What it represented to every sin that was represented by this blood and by the goat, by the sacrifice, is gone. Well, the new covenant states that your sin has been dealt with. It's been taken. So you can't witness enough. Is witnessing good? Yeah. You can't pray enough. Is prayer good? Absolutely. You can't fast enough. I'm just going to say this. You can't believe enough. From the standpoint of, boy, if I just believe, then God would give it to me. If I just believe, if I just believe, you've already located yourself that you don't. Yeah. Why? Because belief is resting in what He did. Many of us, oh Lord, I need a healing. Boy, I've got a faith that I've got to get faith out there. I've got to work on this faith because if I only believe, then I'll, and I'm working on it. And we don't understand that we've already defeated ourselves.
Jesus.
Amen.
I'll do Brianna's mic.
Jesus paid the price for our deliverance. Come on. It's a done deal. Did you know every promise that's in the Word is the same way? By His stripes, we were healed. And we're going, oh, I need healing, I need healing, I need healing. Oh, if I just believe, I just believe, I just believe. According to my faith, my faith, my faith, my faith, my faith, my faith. See, your faith begins when it becomes now instead of when. What do I mean by that? I mean, now faith is. In other words, I already have it. He's already paid the price. Well, my body still hurts. Yeah, I don't care about that. I'm just entering into the rest. Lord, I thank You that You were moved with compassion, and by Your stripes I am healed. I am whole. I am right. I may not see it today. I might not see it tomorrow, but I'm resting in the fact that You've already promised, and if You promise, it's a done deal. Let me just prove that to you. How many know that you're saved? That if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. How many know that? You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know that. Let me ask you this. Do you always feel saved? I saw what you did. I heard what you said. Do you always feel saved? Has no bearing. Because what you're standing in is the fact that Jesus took your place. And when you surrendered to Him, you became part of Him. And He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if I'm in Him, the scapegoat took my sin and He took it as far as the east is from the west. It says God will remember it no more. I love that analogy. And I'm glad He didn't say north and south. Because remember the globe. If you go from the North Pole to the South Pole and keep going, you're eventually going to come to the North Pole again. But if you go east to west and you just keep going east, 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 you'll never get to the west. Do you hear what I'm saying? As far as the east is from the west, I'll remember your sins no more. Glory to God. That's the covenant that I entered into, but it wasn't anything that I've done or can do. It was that the sacrificial lamb shed His blood, and then as the high priest, He entered into the Holy of Holies once and for all. I love that. Once and for all. Once and for all. In other words, He doesn't have to go in there time after time and after time after time. And He went in there for all. Everybody that's accepted Him, everybody who hasn't, He went in for them. The worst person you can think of, He went in for. The best person you can think of, He went in for. It's a done deal. It's not do. It's done. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And that's our response, right? The Bible even says, for it's by grace you've been saved, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. In other words, God wanted us. He wanted you. He wanted me. Think of that. He wanted me. He wanted me. So He sent His Son so that the blood could pay the price for my adoption papers. And so when I said, yes, Lord, it's by His grace, in other words, He did all the work, that I got saved through my faith. And again, my faith was not, oh God, I need to be saved, I need to be saved, I hope I'm saved, I hope I'm saved, I hope I'm saved. No. I remember the day. It's my story, so I get to tell it. When I went into a circle where they said, does anybody want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I went into that circle and I said this simple prayer that I don't even remember. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that my heart was changed. And at that same moment, this is really funny, at the same moment he said, well, do you want all that God has for you? Now, I'm just going to be a little worldly here. The group that I went with, my friends, we didn't bring a six-pack. We brought a case. Some of you get that reference. We didn't bring a six-pack to the party. We brought a case of beer with us to the party. So did I want? Yes, I want it all. So I got saved, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit about 2 minutes or 3 minutes later, and with a prayer language, and I was so full of the Spirit of God that I went home, and I was just in His presence because my heart had been changed. And you know what I did? Nothing. All I did was say, I'm entering into this covenant that's already been struck. And I believe everything that Jesus did is mine. That's the same way we need to act today. I don't care if you've been saved a year, 5 minutes, 50 years. I used to have this misconception when I first got saved. Man, if you were saved 2 years, I looked at you, boy, you must be something. You've been saved 5 years? Oh my gosh, you must really know God. Oh, you've been saved for 20 years. Oh, 50 years. Oh, now that's a saint of God. That's so totally false. Because I know people have been born again for 40 years and don't know God at all. Watch this. God revealing Himself to me is not by how long I've been saved. It's by how much I believe that the terms of the covenant are true. What does that mean? Father, I don't feel anything. In fact, if I was you, I wouldn't talk to me. All right? But I'm not you. And I've read the terms of the covenant. And everything that I'm dealing with, Lord, you said you'd cover. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said you'd be with me till the end of the age. You said that's part of the covenant terms. And Lord, I'm just going to walk like that's true. I'm just going to act like that's true. I'm just going to really act like that is true. Hallelujah. I want to read, this is so cool, Hebrews chapter 10. Y'all getting anything this morning? Hebrews chapter 10. It's not about me. Come on. It's about Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you had no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of this book written of me to do your will, O God. What's He saying? Jesus is saying, that didn't do it, I'll do it. Thank you, Jesus. And watch this. When I do it, it will be done. So we're out of the doo-doo into the done. Come on, that's so good. Now I just want to talk to you just for really briefly on some of the benefits. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just going to go through these. In verse 3, it says that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We're blessed. And that means praise. It means that we're just in that. And I love this portion. It said that it's an invoked blessing. Yeah. What does that mean? Do you remember when Abraham, you know, he was passing away and he had his sons came in and you know, his son stole his brother's blessing. But he laid his hands on him and he blessed him with words. And then he blessed the other son also, but he blessed him with words. And once he blessed him with the words, he couldn't take them back, even though he knew that he was deceived. Once I've spoken it, it's done, he said. So he blessed him with words. The New Testament is the invocation of God's blessing on your head. So, in verse 3, because of the terms of the New Testament, we're blessed. Now listen to this. I didn't write this. I wouldn't have written this about you in this way, because I know most of you. Just kidding. Watch this. In verse 4, we're chosen. We're chosen. Now, growing up, I was athletic, but I was slow, right? Dugans don't run, right? Okay. So whenever the teams, you know, the schoolyard teams, I was never one of the first ones chosen, right? I, especially if it had anything to do with running, I was the last. And that feeling of rejection from not being chosen was real, right? Once you understand that Almighty God looked at you through the blood of Jesus and said, I choose you. Under the new, listen, I choose you. I got a team up here in heaven that I want to be with me for eternity, and I've got jobs and purposes for them to do while they're on earth and for eternity, but I choose you. I choose you, you. I choose you. Under the terms of the New Testament, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. But he goes on in verse 4 to say that you're chosen, you're holy, and you're without blame. Because of the new covenant, because you're in that blood covenant with Almighty God. Verse 5 says that I'm adopted. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And nothing you can say is going to talk me out of it. Nothing. I've got a friend who's dealt with a son that has had addiction issues. And if you've ever been in that world and know the hurt and the pain that parents go through with addiction, because oftentimes they don't get delivered the first time. They may even go through treatment 4, 5, 6 times. And so the parents got this expectation that goes up and then gets crushed and then goes up and then gets crushed. But a parent will never give up. I don't care if it's the 10th time. The 10th time is going to be it, because I'm believing for my son, right? Because my son or my daughter has been in me, is adopted. And the same thing is true with God. He sees your potential. He knows what the enemy has destroyed you with. But he sees the good in you, because he is that good in you. Hallelujah. So I've been blessed. I've been chosen. I'm holy. You know, the Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Oh, yeah, right, God. Right, right. You want me to be holy like you're holy? Impossible. With God, all things are possible. Because I'm not in myself. It's not just my blood that I'm going before God with, but that blood covenant has His blood coming into my veins, and now I'm in Christ Jesus. So He sees me as holy. Holy. I know I've got to wrap up, but I just got to tell you this picture, and get this picture. There was a man who had experiences of being taken to heaven. And he'd had several of them, but one day he was up in heaven and God says, do you want me to show you how I see you? And he said, no. Think about that. No. Why? Because all he could see is his inadequacies. All he could see is his failures. All he could see is how he didn't measure up. but he lifted his eyes up and God showed him in a beautiful uniform that was full, it was regal, and it was powerful, and it was, you know, that he was a warrior before God, because that's how God sees you, without blame, holy. Couple more, then we'll close. I'm adopted, and this one is just incredible to me. In verse 6, it says that I've been accepted in the beloved. I want to just throw another little wrinkle on that. Not only have I been accepted, but I am acceptable. Come on, get that in your heart right now. You don't have to change a thing. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to look any different. You don't have to be any different. You are acceptable to God. How many of us go, well, you know, I don't do this enough, or I don't do that enough, or I don't do, if I was only like that person, if I was only like her, if I could only. What you're saying is, I'm not acceptable the way I am. That was true before you got saved. But after you got saved, you became acceptable. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm part of the in crowd. And verse 7, and I really will close with this. I am redeemed. I'm not going to get redeemed. I'm not going to be redeemed in the future. I am redeemed because done is done. Amen. Y'all get anything this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's so good. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that's here in the room and those that are watching online. Lord, I just ask that you would, again, reveal yourself through these words that I've spoken to people who are trying to get something from you to the point where they just realize it's all about what he's done, and I just have to say thank you. It's helpless acceptance of your grace that we walk in, Lord. So if there are at home and they've never really made you Lord of their life, I just ask them to just pray a little prayer with me and just say, Father, I need a Savior. I know my past. I know what I've done. I could never come into your presence on my own. But I believe in my heart that Jesus paid the price for my sin. I pray, God, and I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I receive him as my Messiah. And I believe just as he was raised from the dead, Lord, that because of that, I'm in him and I'm justified before you. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to bless all those online. Pray for them, Lord, if they need healing in their bodies. We just receive what you've done already in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for touching us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you, Lord, for all of your abundant blessings. We receive them now by faith in Jesus' name. That's it. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll as our custom, we'll end with a worship song. And if anybody needs prayer, you need prayer for healing, or maybe somebody in the room has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you want to this morning. God has touched you. Or maybe you walked away from the Lord, and you just come back and you'd say, Lord, I just want to recommit myself to you. Just come up here. Somebody will pray with you. We're all blessed to have you here. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.